Would turn to Luke chapter 14. I always try to give the kids, I do give the kids time to be able to obey the Lord, and I believe it's important to invest in the generation coming up and invest in them spiritually. They need discipleship and mentoring, don't they? They need that. Praise God. How many's had one of these cards? Have you seen these cards, the new church cards? On here, we're actually preaching a sermon series on these core values. And we're on the third one, and it's called I Will Serve. And I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I will serve you. You, I will serve you. And that's what I want to preach on today, is I will serve. And we are to be marked by servanthood. Marked by servanthood. And I just want to go ahead and start at verse 7, and it might be on the wall. Dennis, will you be able to put it on the wall this morning? Okay. All right, we'll just read it together. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places. And we'll just keep it right there for a minute. The Pharisees in this chapter were giving Jesus a problem. If you'll read before that in that same chapter, they were having a problem with Jesus healing somebody on the Sabbath day. They thought, well, that you don't need to heal somebody on the Sabbath day because that's work and you're supposed to rest. So they had a problem with that, and that's what's happened in that chapter before. And this is what led Jesus to tell this story, this parable. He says, he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, next verse. When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. How many remembers as a kid you always try to call shotgun before somebody else did? Shotgun! You try to call it, you get the front seat before everybody. They try to sit down in the best place. How many remembers that? Yeah. Right? When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with humility or with shame to take the lowest place. So what Jesus is saying here, take the lowest place first, and then you'll be exalted. Y'all see that principle? Next verse. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. Next verse. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I tell you right now, I would rather humble myself than to be humbled by the Lord. Y'all catch that in that verse? If you ever exalt yourself above the Lord, buddy, you will be humbled. You will be humbled according to this verse. And so what I want to preach on today is serving each other, serving God. And I read an article the other day about a soldier who was pretending, or a person who was pretending to be a soldier, and he was wearing these badges and this uniform of a soldier who deceased. He had already died. And he put these badges on his arm, and or he had the badges, the rewards on his uniform, and there was a soldier that called him out on it. True soldier called him out on it and said, "This is wrong. You know, this is not true." And noticed that the patch wasn't in the right place. You know, so forth, so forth. I won't get into the details of that. Called him out on it and he hollered, "Stolen valor! Stolen valor! Stolen valor!" You know, valor is earned through what? Service, through serving. So he hollered out, "Stolen valor! Stolen valor!" And come to find out that it was true. He was stealing valor. The problem with this person is that the person wanted recognition and fame and popularity instead of humility and service. And there are people today, even in church, even in the kingdom of God, they want recognition and reward over service and humility.
Amen.
And I don't know. I may step on some toes this morning. Maybe there's some Christians. Maybe there's Christians here or out there who want more, who want recognition and reward, and that's what matters to them more. As long as they can get their name or their title or their opinion, as long as they can get that, humility and service doesn't mean anything. Could it be they are fake soldiers in the kingdom of God? Could it be, I'm just asking a question this morning, could it be that there are people who want recognition and reward over humility? Are we willing to serve each other without a thank you? Are we willing to serve in the kingdom of God when you don't get a pat on the shoulder? Are you willing to serve the Lord when you don't even get a thank you? Right? Are you willing to serve the Lord? Because isn't it true that we are truly serving the Lord not just for compliments? I hope we're not just serving the Lord because of compliments, are we, church? We're not serving the Lord for compliments. We're not serving the Lord just to get security. We're not serving. We are serving the Lord because of what He gave to us. And we find our security and our approval in what He did for us and who we are in Him. I pray. This is my prayer today that we are not just in it just to get what we can, but we are in it to produce, to serve, to see what we can do for God and for each other. I want to share this illustration with you. There was a flight attendant one day who wanted to go on a trip, and she received a seat that was available in first class. At no cost to her, she was able to fly to Europe. An emergency occurred on the plane that made it so that they were in need of another flight attendant. She raised her hand and let them know she was a flight attendant. And even though she was on vacation taking a trip to Europe, she would be glad to serve because she was not serving to get to Europe. That had already been taken care of. Did y'all catch that? It was part of the package of being a flight attendant for the airline, but she had no problem serving on the airplane either because she was just so grateful for the benefit to be able to ride to Europe at no cost to her. Y'all catch that? That service was a joy and not a complaint. It is unfortunate today that many people are serving Christ in order to earn brownie points to make sure they're saved rather than serving Christ out of the overwhelming joy of the free ride. Did y'all catch that? God wants your service not as validation for your salvation. He wants your service out of your joy for the assurance of your salvation. And there are too many believers, too many people who are trying to serve God in order to get saved. Listen, it is not by works. It is only by faith. And when you serve God, you are not serving just to see what you can get out of Him, to try to drain Him, you're serving God because of what He already did for you. I'm serving God because I got a free ride to heaven. Everybody say free grace. Free justification. I am justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not justified by works. I am not justified by deeds. I am going to heaven. That's why I serve. I don't serve just to try to get into heaven. I serve because I am going to heaven. That's the difference. Everybody say, your motive matters. See, a lot of us, we try to earn these brownie points with God. We try to get in good standing with God. Was not what Jesus did good enough? I said, was it good enough? I said, was it good enough? Well, here's the first question I want to ask you. Why do you serve? Why do I serve? Everybody said that. Why do I serve? Why do I serve? Well, who was it that didn't sit down in the best place for you? Who? Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, who sat down in the lowest place for you? Jesus sat down in the lowest place for you. He was willing to serve. He was willing. He didn't look for praise. He didn't look. He was just looking to serve. And wasn't it Jesus' mission in Matthew 20:28 when He said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Right? You say, do we got any leaders in the house? How do you know if you're a leader? How do you know if you're a leader? do you serve? Because if you don't have a servant's heart, and I'm not talking about just getting you to stack chairs, I'm talking about a true servant's heart where you're willing to serve your own enemy. I mean, serve your enemy, serve. I mean, I don't care who it is. You're willing to serve because you understand that your mission is just like Jesus' mission. And his mission was to serve the lost sheep. His mission was to serve through actions, through his words. He said, what can I do to serve? And that's the question we need to have this morning. What can I do to serve? But our motive must be right before we can serve effectively. Everybody say free grace. Free grace because of the grace of God. Why do I serve? We see this principle verse 11. What does verse 11 say? It says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What does Philippians 2 say? Philippians 2 verse 3. Dennis will turn over there in a minute. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Everybody say selfish ambition. If you have a personal agenda rather than God's agenda, you're not a servant. You're serving yourself. It's all about God. It's all about, everybody say teamwork. Teamwork. We come together. Did you get it on there? Yeah. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Wow. You know what kind of mentality that is? That's the mentality of, you're better. That's what it says, isn't it? You're better. Next verse. Verse 4. One, two, three. Verse 4, it says, let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Have you done that this week? Is that all you, is life really all about you? I mean, the reason why you're so miserable is because life is all about you, your interests, what can happen for you. How about we see what we can do for somebody else? What can we do for someone for the kingdom of God instead of always take, right? How about we give to the kingdom of the Lord God? Next verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, when we read these next few verses, you're going to see this pattern. Everybody say pattern. You're going to see the pattern of verse 11. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Look here. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Do you see that? Humbles himself. He humbled himself, didn't he? And coming in the likeness of men. Man, that's humble. Next verse. And being found in appearance as a man, he what? What did he do? Humble. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Next verse. And then he was exalted. Do you see that principle? Do you see the principle? Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Glory to God. I shout over scripture. I don't know about that. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Next one. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you see that pattern? He humbled himself. What happened? He rose again 3 days later. Hallelujah. And he ascended up into heaven. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And let me tell you something. If you don't follow the example, if you don't follow the pattern, you are not a servant. You need to be willing to humble yourself. Look in the interest of other people. Get out of your own world. Get into the world of others and say, what can I do to serve you? What can I do to be an example. Hallelujah. And I know we are Christians and we are believers, but if they did a case on you and they were looking for proof or they were looking for evidence, would you even be guilty of being called a Christian? Would you even be guilty? Would there be enough evidence? Would there be enough proof? If you humble yourself, they will. If you're willing to serve, there will be enough proof, right? And you say, well, why are you preaching this? It's all about love. You humble yourself. God will promote you. Where does promotion come from? What did David say? Promotion doesn't come from the east. It doesn't come from the west. It comes from God. That's where promotion comes from. That's why we serve, church. That's why we serve. And in 1 Peter 5:5, we see the same principle. And it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. It's the humble. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And you say, well, how do I serve? How do I serve? Number one, you serve with no expectations. Right? You don't love people to see what you can get from them. You love them because you love them. Right? You love them because you love them. With no, everybody say, no expectations. No expectations. You know, Jesus loved people. He even washed Judas's feet. That's what you call a servant. That's a servant, right? Willing to serve. Number two, we serve with no manipulation. We're not serving to try to get brownie points from the pastor. We're not serving to try to get brownie points for somebody else. We're serving because we are saved, because we are going to heaven. And I loved it when Brother B come up here, right? When he said, oh gosh, we need to shout, we need to praise God. Well, of course, he knows where he's going. When you know where you're going, man, you don't care. This is why I serve. Why do I serve? Because of what God did for me. How do I serve? Well, I need to serve with no expectations. Everybody say, no strings attached. No manipulation, and we also serve when we don't feel like it. Right? We serve when we don't feel like it. There's going to be times where you don't have the goosebumps, right? They call them. There's going to be times you don't feel that. There's going to be times where the flesh is going to be speaking to you. There's going to be times when the enemy will be speaking to you. But you got to take the step of what? Faith or feeling? Faith or feeling? Come on, church. Faith. You got to live by faith. And the reason why people's lives are like this is because they live by feeling and emotion. And your emotions and your feelings will lead you astray. Hello. Yeah. But if you follow your spirit, you can stay on the straight and narrow. Amen. The straight and narrow, your spirit. How can I grow spiritually? What am I preaching on this morning? What are we preaching on? How can we grow? Serve. Right? Let's ask this question. Am I serving my spouse? Don't raise your hand. Am I serving my family? Right? Am I truly serving? Can I speak to husbands this morning? Can I speak to you? You know, in order to be the head of the house, you got to die for some things. You got to die to some things in your life. Right? Jesus is the head of the church, and he had to die in order to be the head of the church. And there's some things, selfish desires, everybody say selfish ambition. If your ambition does not include the success of your family and your church and the kingdom of God, it's selfish. Amen. Everybody say, it's not about me. Right? How many knows that song? You've heard it. It's all about me. It's all about it's all about me, oh my. I know y'all heard it. Y'all look at me with that holier than thou attitude. I don't listen to country. Yeah, you do. Lord, deliver us from selfishness and propel us to service where we're willing to serve each other. I don't like him. Serve him. He don't like serve him. I don't like what he said. Serve him. I don't agree. Serve. I don't agree with my spouse. Serve her. I don't agree with my spouse. Serve him. I don't agree. Serve. If you serve, people don't want to play the second fiddle, do they? They don't want. It's all about them. I'm preaching out of love this morning. Everybody say love. You've got to have truth and love coming together. See, I don't serve because I have to, right? I don't serve because I serve because I get to. I serve because I get to. There's joy in putting someone before yourself. And serving is all about yielding to God and is part of the sanctification process. It's how we grow. See, as you serve, something begins to happen in you. And this is what happens We look for change. We look for God to change us before we even serve. But the change actually happens as you serve. Did y'all catch that? Right? It's like exercise. It's hard to get the motivation to get on the treadmill. It's hard to get the motivation to get to work out. It's hard to get the motivation. That's the way it is when it's serving. You wait for the motivation to come. It's a trick, guys. It's a trick. Don't wait for the motivation. Go ahead and serve and the motivation will come. Amen. Everybody say, as you serve. As you serve, the motivation will come. I'm telling you, church. Your heart will change. And your perspective will change. I remember the youth. We all went to Bradley Square Mall and we prayed for people as they went into the door. We prayed for, and the youth were praying for people, and they were nervous, man. Some of them were nervous. I was a little too. And nervous. Oh my gosh, what are they going to say? Oh my gosh, what are they going to think? What are they going to think? And you know, as they served, as they prayed for people, they grew as they served. You with me? And their perspective changed because they seen somebody crying with tears coming, rolling down their face. They seen somebody cry. They seen somebody, oh, wow, I feel the presence of God. You know why the presence of God was? You know why people were crying under the power of God? Because someone was willing to serve. Someone was willing to say, can I pray for you? You had a bad day today. Let me get out of my world and stop being so selfish and complaining and get into their world. What can I do to represent Jesus like he has called me to do? It's like welding. I went to welding school, and I never would have learned how to weld if I didn't go from the classroom into the shop where all the action was, where all the sparks were flying, and all the grinding was going on, and all breathing in the steel, right, and doing all that. If I didn't move, and some of us are stuck in the classroom, and we talk about it, and we learn about it, but we never implement or apply the Word of God, and God has called us to apply what we have learned, but some of us are still stuck in the classroom. Yeah, I know I need a witness. Yeah, I know I need to evangelize. I know I need to give. I know I need to get out of the classroom and get in where you can get some hands-on training to really learn how to get down to business and serving other people. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Some of us are auditors. We audit, don't we? We just audit. But God has called us to apply the Word of God. I had to get out of the classroom because knowing about it was not enough. And as I began to weld, I began to learn. I thought, man, this is something I can do. But you got to practice. Everybody say, practice. Put your faith into practice. Look at your neighbor and say, put your faith into practice. Who do I serve? That's an easy one, isn't it? God? Let me say this. People who ain't like you, has a different background. If God called you to serve a Muslim, would you do it? A Buddhist? Right? If God called you, who are you willing to serve? Are you totally committed and surrendered to God where you're willing to represent the love of Jesus and say, you know what, I'm not in this thing. I don't come in this thing with unhealthy expectations or strings attached. I'm just here to represent God because I want to see you go to heaven. That's what it's about, isn't it? Isn't that what it's about? All right, who else do we serve? Well, who's sitting beside you? Who else do you serve? I'll sit beside you so you'll have somebody to serve. Right? And in the membership class this morning, we were in there in that room. That's why that door's open. I forgot to close the door. But we were in there in that room. And we were reading out of 1 Corinthians 12 of how we need to have the same care for one another. And you know what? I read a wonderful verse. Man, it was wonderful. It says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. And if one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with that member who is honored. And when God favors you and gives you a specific blessing, or he blesses you in whatever shape, form, or fashion, don't you say, why God? Why? You're members of one another. So when you get blessed, I'm actually blessed too. When God honors you, I'm honored too, because we are connected spiritually. That's why, church, I don't want to see you fail. I want to see you grow, because as you grow, I grow, because we are connected spiritually. Did y'all catch that? We're connected spiritually. We are members of one another. Everybody say, wash feet. Wash feet. Oh yeah, another one, another group that you should serve is your enemy. Jesus said, bless your enemies. What else did he say? Do good. He said, bless those. Pray for those who despitefully use you, right? He said, bless them. That's backwards. In the carnal mind, because I used to read that verse. I still do. You're like, pastor, you used to read, you don't read anymore? No, I read, I study. And I used to read this verse and be like, man, love your enemy. This is radical. Who comes up with this stuff? God. That's his nature. You love everybody. You love everyone, right? You tell them the truth. John 13, I want to read one more scripture here. Everybody say, wash feet.
Wash feet.
Wash feet. Hallelujah. John 13, verse 5. This is at Passover. They're seated. And by the way, at the wedding feast, when they were sitting, when that scripture we read earlier, where they were sitting, they would actually recline. How many likes to recline? Turn the TV on. Drink a Coca-Cola. Praise the Lord. But you recline. And in those days, you know, heat rises, correct? We're getting into some culture. How many likes history? Come on. Me. I'm the only one. Us two. And they would recline and sit low because it was cooler down there. And so they would recline. And the Pharisees would try to take the best seat, which was, the best seat was up there next to the head of the table. Y'all with me? I just wanted to explain that. Let's read this. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus said, what does it look like? No, he didn't. And then Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. Y'all see the application in this verse? What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. How many knows that we try to understand now and not trust God? Y'all catch that? We try to understand now, question God. We need to understand. We need to figure it out. Quit trying to figure it out and pray and trust God, and you'll know after the test. You'll know after the test. Boy, that's good. Next verse. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Peter, you don't tell Jesus what to do. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If you don't serve your brother and your sister, you with me? You have no part with each other. Next verse. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Just bathe me. Next verse. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Next verse. For he knew who would betray him, that's Judas. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, what does he say here? You also ought to wash one another's feet. Next verse. For I have given you what? An example. That you should do as I have done to you. What, next verse. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. That's the last verse I want to read. Back in Bible days, people's feet would get dirty because they wore sandals, right? And they would walk through these streets and their feet would get muddy, dirty. all the dirt would get under the toenails, and you know what I'm saying, it gets real. And the feet would get real dirty, and it was customary as they would enter the house. You know, it's customary for me to go to my friend's house and eat all their food in the fridge. You know, anyways. But it was customary for them to clean their feet as they went into the house. It was an honor to clean their feet as they went in. Here's the application. In serving others, when you serve others, the dirt of sin, regret, condemnation begins to wash off. Did y'all catch that? See, but if you don't see value in that person, you won't take the time of day to serve them in getting the dirt, sin, off them. Because all you can see is the dirt. Ooh, I ain't washing their feet. Serve and watch what happens. Serve the sinner. Serve the Christian. Serve God. Let your whole life be marked by servanthood. I ain't stacking chairs, okay? You're going to miss your blessing. I ain't giving. You're going to miss your blessing. I'm not coming to a compromise with my spouse. You're missing your blessing. I'm not going to church. I don't need to go to church. You're missing your blessing. Are you willing to serve people? Do you see value in people? Do you see people as God sees them? I don't know. That's between you and God. Do you really value people? Are you willing to serve them? And as you serve them, all the dirt and all the grime of the world begins to wash off their feet, off of them, spiritually. Are you willing to? Here's another question. Y'all thought I was going to be preaching real hard and I was going to have to. Are you willing to serve with a towel? Let me say it like this. Are you willing to lead with a towel? Are you willing to lead with a towel? Or are you going to try to lead with a rod of iron where it's all about you, all about your interest, all about what people can do for you? Or you could change your life and say, I'm going to follow Jesus' example, and I'm going to serve my enemy, and I'm going to serve my spouse, and I'm going to serve my church. I'm going to make a commitment to God, and I'm going to lead with a towel. I'm going to lead with a towel. Because without the towel, you're not a leader. Without the towel and the basin, you're not a leader. And that's why I'm speaking to you. If you want to lead people to Christ, if you want to be in the will of God, you've got to be willing to at least pick up the towel and say, I'm going to serve with no expectation. I'm going to serve without manipulation. I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve regardless of how I feel. Because it's what Jesus does. And that's how Jesus lived. How Jesus lives. That's the example. Here's the question. Where do I serve? Where? Where are you at now? Here. Where do you serve? Your job. Home. Family. Where do I serve? We need to say this. We don't just need to say, well, I go to Chestui. You need to say, I belong there. I belong there. You don't just go here. You belong to a family. This is the family of God where we come together. And y'all probably nod your head yes. Some of you need to get to know some people in here because you don't know everybody. And you need to know some people in here. Can I get an amen? I'm not getting on to you. Everybody smile. Laugh. Right? And we get to know each other by family. And we're willing to serve each other. I'm going to ask you. And you say, well, this is kind of awkward and it's uncomfortable. You know, you grow. You grow when you do something that's uncomfortable. You get out of your comfort zone. I got two towels up here. And I want you to come up here, if you're willing, to make a commitment and a covenant with God and say, I'm going to be a servant. Because without being a servant, I can't lead. Right? I'm going to ask you. And I don't want you to hold it for a real long time because somebody else may want to come up and grab the towel and say, I'm going to make a commitment to God. Right? I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to serve. My whole life is going to be marked by servanthood. I'm not going to spend my time complaining about people, condemning people. I'm going to serve them because that's what Jesus would do. Am I preaching this morning? Am I? So I'm going to give you a chance here. And I want you to come up here and I want you to grab the towel and say, Lord. And you say it in your own words. You don't have to repeat it after me. Say, Lord, I take this towel as a commitment to my church and to my family and even to my enemies. Because that's what you did. And so I'm going to give you the chance right now. And take this towel and make a covenant with God, a commitment, and say, I'm going to be a servant. Yes, I got to die to some selfish things. Yes, I got to die to some desires that I got. And you know it. I don't know your life. I don't know those things that may be in your life that's hindering you from serving. But you know what they are. And you don't have to tell anybody else, but you can come up here and say, you know what? I'm going to serve. I'm going to follow the example of Jesus. And when you do this, God's going to give you the grace to do it. Who is going to be the first one to come up here and say, I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to make a commitment with God. And you say, well, that looks ridiculous. I don't have to go up there and grab a towel. Well, that's what they told Jesus when he was going to the cross. That looks ridiculous. What kind of man is that going to die for the sins of the world? That looks ridiculous. If this looks ridiculous to you, you might ought to re-question. You might reevaluate it. This towel. And I got another one in case y'all come up flooding up to the front at the same time. Running over each other. And you make a commitment and say, I will serve as a commitment. Anybody else want to make a commitment? Anybody else want to make a covenant? Bring your wife up here. Bring your family up here. Don't be bashful. Hallelujah. We make a commitment to God. Hallelujah. As a way to serve the Lord. Anybody else want to make a commitment, a covenant, and say, I'm going to serve? You say, I'm hurt. I've been wounded. If you make this commitment to God, God will heal the wound. He'll heal the wound. He'll heal the hurt. Anybody else want to make a covenant, a commitment to God and say, I'll serve. I'm ready to serve. Anybody? Hallelujah.